click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Now, if you are much like me and pay very close attention to our monetary policy, you'd be well aware that there's been some interesting conversations taking place with the South African Reserve Bank and their MPC, largely to make sure that they do review our inflation target. Typically, this has sat between the 3 to 6% target band, but over the last few quarters of witnessing inflation at softer levels, even shifting below 3% at some point, there are conversations to prepare the South African Reserve Bank to shift its inflation target. This has yet to be confirmed and take place, but robust conversations are certainly going about. To help us unpack this and, of course, share his perspective is Sub-Saharan Africa economist at the Bank of America and a good friend of Kaya Biz, Tatonga Rusike, who joins us on the show today. Tatonga, welcome back to Kaya Biz. It's been a while since we touched base with you, sir.
Thank you very much, Gugu. I'm happy to be here.
Excited to touch base with you. And I guess first things first, right, Tatonga, when it comes to the South African Reserve Bank and its inflation target, for years on end, they have defended this 3 to 6% target band. But of late, we do see a new conversation developing regarding the reduction in the inflation target. Maybe before we get to your expectations and prospects, remind us as to why inflation targeting is so important as part of the mandate of our local MPC, but more so, why this conversation around refreshing the target remain so critical.
Thank you very much. So low inflation helps to anchor prices and give stability, particularly for local domestic prices, but also the value of the currency. You'd have seen in the region in Sub-Saharan Africa, where inflation is generally above 10%, currencies depreciate a lot more. So it's important to have an inflation targeting framework. So for the last 20 or 25 years, South Africa has had the 3 to 6% target, and usually it would be the upper end of the 6% target. Then about 7 or 8 years ago, the central bank within that range decided that they would be going to target the midpoint, which is 4.5%. And that has helped them to anchor inflation around 4.5%. But if you look at other emerging market countries, they target 3%. You can think about Brazil, maybe Chile. Mm. And then if you look at the developed countries, they actually target 2%. So if we are still at 4.5%, perhaps the inflation differentials with developed markets and other EMPs also gives the rand to start on the back foot. So narrowing those inflation differentials is the conversation that is taking place to move towards 3%. And as you mentioned at the beginning, that we've already seen some prints around 3% or below 3%. So it is possible to get there without a lot of cost because we're starting from a lower inflation base.
Mm-hmm. And you essentially saying that this refresher of the inflation target could lead to favorable outcomes in terms of further interest rate cuts. Tell us more.
Yes. So ultimately, if you can get the mandate, that is important, and that mandate needs at least to come with the support of the political authorities represented by the finance minister. If you get the mandate, you start targeting, you encourage market participants, particularly price setters, labor, and everyone else to think about inflation around 3%. And then you also hope and pray that oil prices are moderate, lower 70 to 80, food prices are moderate, you can get to 3%. If you get to 3% as a new normal, interest rates can be much lower than where they are today. So today you've got policy rate of 7.25%. And we are saying that you could see policy rate at 5.75%. So that's about 150 bips from today. Mm. So that's lower. So that can stimulate borrowing. Mm. If you stimulate borrowing, credit growth, yes. GDP growth.
Yes.
And it's even cheaper for the government to borrow.
I was just about to go there, Tatonga, because the SARB has often been criticized for not focusing on a growth mandate or jobs, much like the U.S. Federal Reserve, where they also prioritize jobs as a key target. So this particular move, does this essentially kill two birds with one stone, given that you alluded to growth?
Not necessarily, because the jobs issue is different in South Africa, right? Mm. People in my field call the relationship between inflation and employment the Phillips curve type of relationship, that there's a trade-off of lower inflation to losing jobs. If you get high inflation, you can employ more people. But that's not the case in South Africa, because we've got other structural issues that lead to a structural high unemployment over 30%. So targeting low inflation is not necessarily going to result in people losing jobs, but perhaps you could actually get more borrowing, right, on the corporate side, on the household side. So that could actually stimulate jobs if corporates are going to borrow for expansion, for improvements. For the case of the Fed and the others, yes, they do have a dual mandate on looking at growth and labor, because it's very they are very intertwined or joined together. In South Africa, not so much. That's why they probably have a narrow mandate. So if we fix the structural reform side of things, it can make it easier to start thinking about giving the central bank a dual mandate.
On that, on structural reform, I'm so keen to get your observations on the improvements we've made. Have we done enough? And are we still lacking? Because that's often been a call and a criticism from global agencies.
Yeah, you would probably know better than I do that you don't have as much power cuts as you used to do since April last year. That is a structural improvement. Why? Because the electricity market was opened up to private sector to generate and supply. So the burden is less on Eskom. Now there are efforts to bring some of that private sector generation from renewables onto the grid. All right. So that's one element that's been successful. The other part that is being worked on relates to the logistics for ports and rail, trying to bring private sector. So there's work in progress, but it tends to be slow in delivering. But I think if we get to say we reduce the logistics bottlenecks, we can talk about growth, GDP growth that is closer to 2% than closer to 1% that we're currently experiencing. So there's work in progress around structural reforms. It's just that the pace is slow and gets sidetracked by GNU tension sometimes.
Got you. Can't wait for you to come closer to home, Tatonga, to see some of these reforms in action, because we've seen some, but of course, slow progress, but progress nonetheless. Coming back to the theme around inflation, and for many of us in South Africa, post-pandemic, we actually witnessed the significant rally in inflation. And I'm keen to understand the reduction in the target. Are there still threats, though, of inflation running away from us? And largely because one of my friends who's an economist just shared a theme that one of the largest drivers of inflation are administrative prices. And essentially, government is the author of real feel inflation in South Africa. So lowering the target is one particular mandate and shift.
Yeah.
But do the threats still remain?
Yes, absolutely. So on the domestics front, administrative prices, it's part of those structural reforms that need to be done in setting prices for electricity, the process that goes through NESA. You'd have seen that NESA tariff increases have been double digit, between 10 to 20% on average per year. So in order to get to 3%, perhaps that's an area of reform that needs to be pursued on the government side, but not on the central bank side. So that needs to be done. Now, the second threat is how the geopolitics also shape up. You would have seen that oil prices moved up to $80 when you had the conflict between Israel and Iran. Yes. But as soon as that conflict abated, oil prices came back lower. We are close to 70. So when oil prices are lower, you tend to see inflation also being on the lower side. So, but when oil prices go towards 100, that's where you also see inflation skyrocketing, as we did in SA. We got to almost over 8% in 2022, and the central bank went into a hiking cycle. So now that inflation has been decelerating, the central bank has been cutting interest rates, and we're expecting a cut tomorrow.
By how much, though, the cut?
They usually cut by 25 bips per meeting. Mm-hmm. So that should be the baseline.
Oh, I was hoping we'd take it up to 50 bips. Hey, I think we all need it as consumers, just a little bit more reprieve. But I guess that then means that the outlook for the remainder of the year, does that mean further opportunities for cuts remain?
I don't think we will see more cuts after tomorrow. We will probably stay with the policy rate at 7% and wait for more information, particularly with regards to potentially moving to a 3% inflation target. Mm-hmm. Because what you want is also to anchor expectations that this is now where we're operating. Once you start winning that side of things, then the central and resume a cutting cycle in 2026. And when it does resume, you can get cumulative cuts of about 125 bips that can lend us back at the lower level of 5.75%. Mm. So that would be more for 2026. But for now, they are likely to pause and see how this discussion goes.
ultimately the benefit of a shift in the inflation target and these interest rate cuts at Tatonga, how long should we anticipate to see its full impact on the economy?
I think potentially to get to the right level, you probably give 1 to 2 years, so perhaps up to 2 years. So to start seeing the lower rates is probably second half of 2026, rather to see those benefits in the later parts of 2026. I mean, if you look at some of the recent numbers now, you can see private sector credit growth is now around 5%. Right? About a year ago, credit growth was around 4%. And about over the last year, the SARB has cut by 100 bips. So cutting rates stimulates credit. It is thin. So you could move higher. In the past, pre-2010, you were seeing credit growth 6% and above. So it's possible to have those higher levels, but it comes with lower rates.
100%. We'll leave it there for today, Tatonga, but such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Appreciate the insight that you've given us tonight.
Thank you.
Tatonga Rusike, Sub-Saharan Africa economist at the Bank of America. So as you've heard, Bank of America essentially saying, yep, they see that the shift that the South African Reserve Bank wants to implement regarding our inflation target at 3% is something that is likely going to happen. Numbering in and penciling in an interest rate cut that we can anticipate tomorrow, 25 basis points. Great level of reprieve for overly indebted South Africans. And even if you aren't overly indebted, but makes your credit payments a lot easier. Savers, you likely feel the pinch, but ultimately all of this will translate into a greater level of demand for credit and lending. And as a result, consumption spending. And if we can manage our inflation to be demand driven, then that's where we'll have a greater sense of confidence implemented in our economy. And most importantly, seeing the effectiveness of monetary policy. Give it about 18 months. That's the expected outcome and impact of the shift in the inflation target.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.